So, thank you for your patience and welcome to our vital health topic for August 2018. So today is August 6, 2018, and I personally am really excited for this particular topic. We all hear a lot about vitamin C and the different forms and how much to take and if you should take it and all of that type of thing. And so Drina is, I've heard her on our, she's one of our nutritional endocrinology practitioner training students, and she does an amazing job with this information, and I've heard her talk about it with her own experience. So while I upload the slides, would you like to give us some more information, Drina, about yourself and all of that?
Well, pretty simple, actually. I've had about 28 years worth of experience with herbs and vitamins from natural sources, and I've been in the nutritional endocrinology program now for almost 3 years, and have been experiencing trial and error type things with, especially with making my own liposomal vitamin C. And so with that experience, I've noticed dramatic changes for myself and for the people that I use as line study for research of my own and to be able to help people to further their own health without having to pay the expense of an already pre-made liposomal vitamin C. I also do a lot of healing processes with things that don't cost you anything. And for those that might have joined my call for reconstitutional hydrotherapy, that is one of the main healing protocols that I use with people that I work with. Between that and, you know, dietary changes and helping people to discover food allergies and breakthrough emotional boundaries and just trying to help people heal in every avenue rather than one in particular. And so that's how I came to wanting to help people in a far, in a deeper, more extensive way by going into the school with the nutritional endocrinology. So that's about it for me. I live in Colorado, beautiful place in the San Juan Mountains, and we used to have clean air until we had fires burning all over Colorado and California, and now we have smog-like Los Angeles. So we're in our own health challenges right now also.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So I have your slides uploaded. So people...
And this is a presentation about liposomal vitamin C. And I just need to do a short disclaimer that this is information for you according to my research and personal experience. It is not meant for diagnosis or treatment of disease or illness. So I just want to open with that vitamin C plays an important role in the human body. It is needed to maintain healthy skin, cartilage, teeth, bone, and blood vessels. It is used to protect the body's cells from damage, and it is an antioxidant with great power. We will be looking at the discovery and history behind vitamin C, the signs of imbalance, blood work analysis, vitamin C supplements, food source, Arsola cherry, comparisons of the vitamin C supplements, liposomal, whether it's fat or fantastic, benefits of liposomal vitamin C, making your own, and if we have time, we can look at my blind study that I did with several people. So we're going to talk about the history and the discovery of vitamin C. I'm kind of a little history buff, and so this may be a little bit boring for some of you, but I love this part of the research on how things come about and how they got to their greatest place. So centuries ago, sailors experienced such a lack of vitamin C. They experienced swollen and bleeding gums, loose teeth, and hemorrhaging under the skin, and slowed healing of wounds. What we now know as vitamin C was in short supply on most ships. The human bodies reacted by developing a condition called scurvy. Scurvy had long been the scourge of those who sailed for extended distances without fresh food supplies. Toward the end of the 15th century, scurvy was cited as a major cause of disability and mortality among sailors on long sea voyages. Although Danish mariners were long acquainted with the condition and included lemons and oranges in their marine stores, it was not until 1753 that scurvy was recognized in the British medical community as directly related to dietary deficiency. In 1757, Scottish physician James Lind, having observed the preservative and curative powers of citrus fruits and lemon juice during his years as a naval surgeon, wrote a thesis recommending that mandatory consumption by British sailors would need to be. By 1795, Lind's advocacy had resulted in the issuance of lime juice to all naval vessels. Gradually, elimination of scurvy within the entire British fleet had been accomplished. At the time, no one, including Lind, knew the existence of ascorbic acid, which would eventually become commonly known as vitamin C. In 1769, William Stark, a young British physician, began a series of experiments on diet and nutrition. Using himself as the experimental subject, after consuming only bread and water for 31 days, Stark added other foods to his diet one by one, including olive oil, figs, goose meat, and milk. In 2 months, Stark recorded that his gums were red and swollen, bleeding easily to the touch. 7 months later, he was dead, possibly from scurvy, and likely from the cumulative effects of malnutrition. Stark's diet was heavy on meat and starch, but devoid of fresh vegetables and citrus fruits. It would take more years to pinpoint the scurvy prevention substance responsible for maintaining the body's connective tissues. That would take the meticulous work of brilliant Hungarian-born researcher named Albert Bent Gyorgy, whose isolation and identification of vitamin C and discovery of the metabolic mechanism that enables its use within the cells. He, in the 1920s, was making experimental connections that others did not. Born to a family that already included three generations of scientists, he was interested in science from an early age. He enrolled at the University of Budapest, but his studies were interrupted by the outbreak of World War I. Fervently anti-war throughout his life, he wounded himself to escape combat and returned to the university to finish his studies in 1917. He was reputed to have said that he was overcome with such a mad desire to return to science that one day he grabbed a revolver and, in my despair, put a shot through his upper arm. He received a medical degree upon graduation thereafter, studying at European universities. He began his scientific career by studying the chemical changes that occur when cells utilize nutrients from food, such as carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, a process sometimes known as biological combustion. In the course of his studies, he isolated a molecule from the adrenal glands that lost and regained hydrogen atoms. This hydrogen carrier, containing six atoms, had the properties of a sugar and an acid called hexuronic acid. In the 1920s, he became interested in cell respiration and energy production in plants, closely investigating the browning process that interrupted or impeded growth and normal functioning. He discovered that as plants brown, they do so as a result of damage to the cellular level, a breakdown in the mechanism that supplies enough hydrogen to prevent excessive oxidation. While conducting a series of experiments on citrus plants, he found that browning could be induced by peroxidase, a plant enzyme active in oxidation. He was then able to delay the browning with the addition of citrus juice to the peroxidase. Further experiments allowed him to isolate the protective hexuronic acid agent he believed was active in citrus juice. In 1933, he set about to find additional natural sources of ascorbic acid for further study. Although orange juice and lemon juice have high levels of ascorbic acid, they contain sugars that make purification extremely difficult. He studied the problem by making imaginative use of the local specialty paprika. Fezzed is the paprika capital of the world, where matching salt and paprika shakers were found in every restaurant table. One night, he took the paprika to the laboratory. By midnight, he knew that it was a treasure chest full of vitamin C. Within several weeks, he had produced 3 pounds of pure crystalline ascorbic acid, enough to show when fed to the vitamin C deficient guinea pigs that the acid was equivalent to vitamin C. Just 4 years after ascorbic acid discovery, he received the Nobel Prize for his seminal work. He went on to identify and study actin and myosin, proteins responsible for muscle contraction, and demonstrated that the compound adenosine triphosphate, also known as ATP, is the immediate source of energy necessary for muscle contraction. He later carried out additional studies of citrus fruits, identifying flavonoids and postulating its function as strengthening capillary blood vessels. He then turned to the study of organic compounds known to play a part in the breakdown of carbohydrates in carbon dioxide, water, and other substances necessary for the production of usable energies by the cell. His work laid the foundation for Sir Hans Krebs' explanation of what later would be known as the Krebs cycle. This is the three-stage process by which living cells break down organic molecules in the presence of oxygen to harvest the energy required for growth and division. In 1947, he immigrated to the United States, where he assumed the directorship of the Institute of Muscle Research in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. There he investigated the cause of cell division and the root causes of cancer. He was an accomplished and prolific author, producing, among other works, The Crazy Ape in 1970, a passionate commentary on science and prospects of human survival on Earth. He then died in 1986. Our next subject that we're going to talk about is how we must consume vitamin C. Humans cannot manufacture vitamin C in their bodies. Only goats and guinea pigs do this. But somehow humans have devolved to the point where we must consume vitamin C daily. Besides not manufacturing vitamin C, humans cannot store it either. It is either used or flushed out, which makes daily intake mandatory. High vitamin C foods include guavas, bell peppers, kiwi fruits, strawberries, oranges, papayas, broccoli, tomatoes, snow peas, kale, paprika, and more. The highest in vitamin C is oranges and peppers. You would have to eat 5 oranges to get only 400 milligrams. Even a healthy individual, 5 oranges a day is a little bit much. And if you have insulin resistance, it definitely is not going to work for you. If your adrenals require 3,000 milligrams a day, you're going to have to do the math. It could be a lot of oranges. So we have some signs of imbalance where you bruise easily, if you have hemorrhoids, you have joint injuries that do not heal, muscle weakness, puffy bleeding red gums, varicose veins, spongy bleeding gums, muscle spasms, nervousness and irritability, tetany, which is muscular spasms, and it's also somewhat caused by a malfunction of the parathyroids, deficiency of calcium, tooth decay, depression, hypertension, adrenal fatigue, and scurvy, which isn't heard of much anymore. In our blood analysis, it could include looking at low hematocrit, low hemoglobin, high alkaline phosphatase, high red blood cells, high MCV, high MCH, and high MCHC. Where does vitamin C get absorbed? It's really important to understand how this works. So when food enters the stomach, hydrochloric acid and other stomach enzymes help release this nutrient. Your pancreas helps by releasing bile that aids with digestion. From that point, the vitamins and minerals travel from the small intestine where they are absorbed into the bloodstream. When supplemented, encapsulated or buffered in water or liposomal are absorbed into the lining of the small intestine and then into the bloodstream. When done by IV, it goes directly into the bloodstream, most commonly used for cancer treatment. So we're going to also do some comparisons. So our first comparison is buffered ascorbic acid and sodium ascorbate, vitamin C, the origins and the side effects. So ascorbic acid is used to prevent and treat people who do not get enough vitamin C in their diet. It is used to protect the cells from damage. These particular products show that ascorbic acid and buffered vitamin C, which is potassium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, and calcium ascorbate, come from the sources of GMO-altered cornstarch, corn sugar, rice starch, and or high fructose corn syrup, and is chemically dependent on volatile acids. In these forms, it is only the outer shell of the original food source that is used. This means that only 1/9 of it is absorbed. Dr. Jockers estimates that 20% gets absorbed into the blood cells from oral consumption. People with IBS should not consume ascorbic acid in any form because it is irritating to the intestinal lining. 80% is destroyed in the stomach acid. The ascorbic acid is mixed with sodium, magnesium, potassium minerals to reduce the acidity. It helps with the irritation that can be created without them. However, with high intake, you risk overconsuming accompanying minerals with calcium ascorbate, which in excess can cause hardening of the arteries. Ascorbic acid comes from the sources just spoken above without minerals that create buffering for digestion. That's the buffered ascorbate. Side effects include, and this is not particularly from the buffered, but without it being buffered and without it being liposomal, there is the possibility of the side effects of diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain and cramps, heartburn, and a severe side effect might be urination of pink or bloody urine. You could have an allergic reaction, which is rare. L-ascorbate acid, high-dose vitamin C, may be given by intravenous infusion through a vein into the bloodstream or orally taken by mouth. When taken by intravenous infusion, vitamin C can reach much higher levels in the blood than when the same amount is taken by mouth and has to go through the digestive tract. High-dose vitamin C has been studied as a treatment for patients with cancer since the 1970s. Laboratory studies have shown that high doses of vitamin C may slow the growth or spread of prostate, pancreatic, liver, colon, and other types of cancer cells. Some laboratory and animal studies have shown that combining vitamin C with anti-cancer therapies may be helpful, while other studies have shown certain forms of vitamin C may make chemotherapy less effective. Animal studies have shown that high-dose vitamin C treatment blocks tumor growth in certain modules of pancreatic, liver, prostate, and ovarian cancer, sarcoma, and malignant mesothelioma, which are tumors that are in the lining of the lung, stomach, and heart. Some human studies of high-dose IV vitamin C in patients with cancer have shown improved quality of life, as well as improvements in physical, mental, and emotional functions. Symptoms of fatigue, nausea, vomiting, pain, and appetite loss have all improved. There are some side effects. However, high-dose vitamin C may be harmful in patients with certain risk factors. These could be in patients with a history of kidney disorders. Kidney failure has been reported that after ascorbic acid treatment, patients with a tendency to develop kidney stones should not be treated with high-dose vitamin C, meaning intravenous. Case reports have shown that patients with an inherent disorder called G6PD deficiency should not be given high doses of vitamin C due to the risk of hemolysis, which is a condition where the red blood cells are destroyed. Since vitamin C may make iron more easily absorbed and used by the body, high doses of vitamin C are not recommended for patients with hemochromatosis, which is a condition that stores iron. These types mentioned are not considered food-grade vitamin C. Over 90% of ascorbic was and still is manufactured in Nutley, New Jersey, owned by Hoffman LaRoche, one of the largest drug manufacturers, and recently sold to DSM after they were sued for $500 million for world vitamin price fixing. Founded in 1896 by Fritz Hoffman LaRoche, the company was early on known by producing various vitamin preparations and derivatives. In 1934, it became the first company to mass produce synthetic vitamin C under the name of Redoxin. DSM Nutritional Products is the world's largest supplier of nutritional ingredients such as vitamins, carotenoids, and fine chemicals to the feed for animals, food, and pharmaceutical and personal care industries. If we truly want to contemplate They are manufacturing most of the vitamin and mineral supplements in most of our health food stores. It's pretty frightening. Just thought you should know. According to DSM, ascorbic acid is made from the process involving cornstarch and volatile acids. Each company that buys the bulk synthetic ascorbic acid then makes its own label, its own claims, and its own formulations, each one claiming to have a superior form of vitamin C, even though 90% came from the same place. I don't feel, in my experience, that this is the best form. So we're going to talk about the Arceola cherry vitamin C source. This cherry is native to South America, southern Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Brazil, and Central America. But it is now also being grown in northern Texas and in subtropical areas like Asia and India. Using Arceola cherry gives us a food form and has 8 times the ability of the forms of ascorbic acid that I just stated. It is 93% absorbed when encapsulated with a phospholipid. This form of food-grade vitamin C of 8 to 9 grams equals 72 grams of ascorbic acid. 6 grams of this food grade equals 50 grams of an IV form of ascorbic acid. When not encapsulated in a phospholipid, the side effects include nausea, stomach cramps, sleepiness, and insomnia. Doses that are too high can cause diarrhea. Conversion from oral ascorbic or buffered vitamin C is 4 to 15 grams needed daily, and that equals 1 to 3 grams of the Arceola vitamin C made from cherry. So in a bit of a comparison, comparing liposomal ascorbic and liposomal Arceola cherry, the liposomal ascorbic acid has the origins of corn or corn syrup, high cost when only absorbing 20%, and uses only 1/9 of the food source. When bound to a phospholipid, it is preserved from the stomach acid. The liposomal Arceola cherry is a whole food source, 93% absorption, non-irritating to the gut, healthy food source, does not affect your blood sugar, taken on an empty stomach for best results. When bound to sunflower lecithin, is more bioavailable and protected by stomach acid. For liposomal, it is 75 cents to $1 per dose. So it is, as far as buying liposomal vitamin C, that can be very expensive. But when you're making it yourself, as you'll find out a little bit later in this talk, can be very affordable. And as Dr. Rita Marie always says, take as much liposomal as you can possibly afford. But when you can buy the ingredients and blend them and use an ultrasonic machine to bind them together, then you can afford all liposomal vitamin C. It's a fantastic way. So we're going to talk about what liposomal actually means. So lipo is the Greek root word for fat, and soma means body. The liposome is a fatty body that delivers nutrients to cells in the form of phospholipids. Phospholipids pass easily through the body's own phospholipid cell membrane. Once the liposome passes through the cell membrane, they deliver the nutrient directly to the cell. This process ensures that key nutrients make it through digestion and directly into the cells. Without liposomal delivery, many nutrients go straight through and into the toilet. The purpose for using sunflower lecithin is that our brain is 30% lecithin. Our myelin sheaths that cover the nerve endings in the brain are made of lecithin, and the outer wall of our cells are made up of 2 layers of lecithin. Each cell membrane made of phospholipids are composed of 2 fatty acid chains, 1 glycerol and 1 phosphate. Because of their structure, they are semi-permeable. This means that it lets some things in, but not others. Phospholipids are a critical part of each cell membrane in our body. Lecithin has 2 polar regions. One allows water and gas through, and the other allows fat. It can bind both water and fat to the same molecule. The lecithin will easily bind the vitamin C to the cell. It is made of the same substance as the cell's outer lining. Sunflower lecithin is omega-3, 6, and 9. When we think about how 80% of the vitamin C that we intake is destroyed in the stomach because of the stomach acid when it is not encapsulated in some form of phospholipid. There are two kinds of lecithins that are used when you have companies that are making liposomal. So you would want to be very careful and, you know, look this over. Soy and sunflower lecithin are phospholipids that are composed of choline, fatty acids, glycerol, glycolipids, phospholipids, phosphoric acid, and triglycerides. Lecithin was originally isolated from egg yolks, but today it is regularly extracted from cottonseed, marine sources, milk, rapeseed, soybeans, and sunflower. It can be purchased in lecithin granules, powders, and liquids. Lecithin is a compound complex mixture of phospholipids, which compose the cellular membrane structure and are used for energy storage. I don't recommend using soy unless it is fermented. It is difficult to find unaltered soy products. Soy lecithin is extracted from raw soybeans. First, the oil is extracted using a chemical solvent like hexane, and then the oil is processed, which is called degumming, so that the lecithin is separated and dried. It is generally modified or supposedly organic. Soy products are risky in general. Soy and its phytoestrogens can alter sex hormones in men, women, and children. Soy products have been implicated in breast cancer and infertility. And I just want to restate, this is an unfermented soy. So I think everyone should do their own research, but I recommend that you look into liposomal vitamin C. You look into the information between the whole food sources and then your corn sources. So where can you get a good clean form of liposomal vitamins? A little internet research will yield several liposomal vitamin C choices, but what makes liposomal vitamin C different from competitor to competitor? Here's what you need to know. You do not want GMO-altered GMO foods or supplements. Genetically modified organisms are plants and foods whose genes have been altered. The average vitamin C is manufactured from corn. Soy and corn are the top genetically modified crops in the United States. There exists no longitudinal human study to prove that genetically modified organisms are safe for human consumption. I recommend to err on the side of caution. Do not trust your cellular health to Frankenstein organisms that have blended DNA. Avoid GMO foods and supplements like the plague. Other manufacturers of liposomal vitamin C utilize soy oil to construct their liposomal packages. Almost 100% of global soy products are genetically modified. Some companies may claim they use non-GMO soy in their products, but the sad reality is that GMO soy crops have cross-pollinated and contaminated so-called organic soy fields. Here are a few reputable companies that stand by their research and their products. Healthy Habits Living Liposomal Vitamin C offers a certified non-GMO sunflower liposome instead of the commonly offered soy-based liposome delivery. And this guarantees that you will not be exposed to any risky GMO foods or supplements. Runs about $26 for 5 ounces. Seeking Health, liposomal vitamin C offers a mixture of sodium ascorbic acid and ascorbate with sunflower lecithin. They also offer a formula is liposomal plus with rose hips, and that's about $30 to $35 for 5 ounces. Living Herbal Pharmacy, spelled with an F in the pharmacy, offers a freeze-dried liposomal Arceola cherry vitamin C, but they also offer the non-GMO Arceola cherry powder and the sunflower lecithin that you can make your own. It's $49 for 4.5 ounces of freeze-dried, which is about a quarter of a teaspoon a day, gives you about 5,000 milligrams. Purchased separately, it's a pound of the cherry for $44 and a pound of the lecithin for $22. So not so bad. The next thing we're going to talk about is the benefits of vitamin C and liposomal vitamin C. So vitamin C enables the body to efficiently use carbohydrates, fats, and proteins because vitamin C acts as an antioxidant and nutrient that chemically binds and neutralizes the tissue. Damaging effects of substances known as free radicals. It is vital to the growth of healthy bones, teeth, gums, and ligaments, and blood vessels. Vitamin C also plays a key role in the formation of collagen, the body's major building protein, and is therefore essential for proper functioning of all internal organs. Vitamin C is found in various foods, but food processing may degrade or destroy the vitamin C, as exposure to air, drying, salting, cooking, especially in copper pots, or processing. Freezing does not usually cause the loss of vitamin C unless the foods are stored for long periods of time. In modern times, access to fresh fruits and vegetables is common, rendering full-blown cases of vitamin C deficiency is relatively rare now. Cases are normally limited to isolated elderly adults, usually men whose diets are limited in foods lacking in vitamin C, as well as infants fed reconstituted milk or milk substances without vitamin C. Those with certain illnesses, such as AIDS, cancer, tuberculosis, surgical patients, and those exposed to long periods of cold temperatures can also suffer from vitamin C insufficiency. People with insulin resistance that cannot consume fruits and other foods with high oxalate sensitivities that cannot consume high oxalate foods like peppers. These are some of the specific benefits of vitamin C and liposomal vitamin C. It can improve your immune system. Your immune cells are constantly searching for and destroying invaders. If you are exposed to an ongoing large amount of free radicals, your immune cells will be overwhelmed. They will not be able to keep up with the demand, and excess inflammation will abound. Number two, it combats infection by boosting the immune system. Both liposomal vitamin C and traditional buffered vitamin C are used for improving immune health. Immune health is a broad term and encompasses most of the body's functions. You have many types of immune cells, which are all made in your bone marrow. Phagocytes are cells that engulf and absorb foreign invaders in your bloodstream. You can imagine phagocytes as a Pac-Man character. They open their mouth and they chomp up anything suspicious in their pathway. T cells are made in the bone marrow and then stored in the thymus gland. They are programmed to kill only one type of invader. You can imagine that each T cell has a key that will only fit into certain locks. Phagocytes and T cells cannot function without a steady supply of vitamin C. If you are deficient in vitamin C, these cells will not be ready to fight when you are exposed to cold, flu, or serious illnesses. Number three, it is an excellent antihistamine. It's a natural antihistamine. It's prevalent in many fruits and vegetables and also in supplement form. Because of its free of side effects and non-toxic, it is a safe solution for treating stuffy noses and other unpleasant symptoms of seasonal allergies. Vitamin C is a strong antihistamine that can rival the strength of any over-the-counter allergy medications like Zyrtec or Allegra, any of those, with a lot less toxicity. Number four, it reduces inflammation. Free radicals are the main source of inflammation in your body, and your immune system is responsible for neutralizing and kicking out free radicals. Vitamin C is also very important for tissue inflammation. Number five, it participates in making adrenaline. Cortisol is a hormone released by the adrenal glands and is responsible for stress. This vitamin helps reduce both the physical and psychological effects of stress on people. Number six, increases iron uptake. Vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin thought to increase the absorption of non-heme iron. In addition, vitamin C is also thought to counteract the effects of dietary phytase and tannins, which are known inhibitors of iron absorption. Number seven, it heals connective tissue by continually manufacturing collagen to maintain and repair connective tissue. Number eight, it is an antioxidant. It helps with antioxidant damage to cells due to stress and other factors. It aids in wound healing and recovery from surgery. When you injure a tissue, your body may increase collagen production to heal the affected area. When you have surgery, there is always injury to tissues. Although the surgery may be necessary and helpful overall, the tissues affected will be damaged by the surgery. Cardiovascular health. Potent antioxidant that protects cells and biological molecules from the damage which can cause cardiovascular disease, and cancer prevention and reversal. There's a new study that shows that vitamin C supplementation allows your body to create hydrogen peroxide that kills cancer cells. Most vitamin C therapies involve taking the substance orally. However, scientists have shown that giving vitamin C intravenously, bypassing normal gut metabolism and excretion pathways, creates blood levels that are 100 to 500 times higher than levels seen with oral ingestion. It is this super high concentration in the blood that is crucial to vitamin C's ability to attack cancer cells. Vitamin C selectively kills cancer cells, but not normal cells. Physicians in hospitals and clinics are now testing the approach in clinical trials for pancreatic cancer and lung cancer that combine high-dose intravenous vitamin C with chemotherapy or radiation. Earlier phase 1 trials have indicated this treatment is safe and well-tolerated. In another study, in the December issue of the Redox Biology, Buettner and his colleagues have honed in on the biological details of how high-dose vitamin C, also known as ascorbate, kills cancer cells. The study showed that vitamin C breaks down easily, generating hydrogen peroxide, a so-called reactive oxygen species that can damage tissue and DNA. The study also shows that the tumor cells are much less capable of removing the damaging hydrogen peroxide than normal cells. In this paper, he demonstrates that the cancer cells are much less efficient in removing hydrogen peroxide from normal cells. Thus, the cancer cells are much more prone to damage and death from a high amount of hydrogen peroxide. This explains how the very, very high levels of vitamin C used in the clinical trials do not affect the normal tissue, but damage only tumor tissue. That was really fascinating to me. Number 12, transport fat into cells for ATP. It converts carbohydrates into glucose, and our livers convert fatty acids into ketones. These are two of the substrates that our mitochondria turn into ATP. It is a way that our body can store ATP, transport it into another area in the cell. Vitamin C and vitamin E can also indirectly increase ATP production. Number 13, healing of the lining of our blood vessels. Vitamin C acts like glue and holds tissues together. It keeps the arteries strong yet pliable. The deficiency of vitamin C can be seen first as micro tears in your arteries. Number 14, it recycles glutathione. Glutathione is a very simple molecule that may well be the most important molecule you need to stay healthy and prevent disease. It is the mother of antioxidants. Vitamin C helps raise glutathione in red blood cells and lymphocytes, and vitamin E is an important antioxidant that works with GSH to prevent damage from reactive oxygen and protects glutathione-dependent enzymes. Vitamin C and glutathione, amazing antioxidants. Improves and nourishes our adrenals. Located at the top of each kidney, the adrenal gland produce hormones that help the body control blood sugar, burn protein and fat, react to stressors like major illnesses and injury, and regulate blood pressure. Two of the most important adrenal hormones are cortisol and aldosterone. Vitamin C nourishes the adrenal health. Part of the last thing that I have here is making your own liposomal vitamin C. So some of the things that you would need to be able to do this would be one ultrasonic machine, at least 800 milliliter size so that you can make 16 ounces at a time. You would need a organic non-GMO Arceola cherry and a non-GMO sunflower lecithin. If you were making this from the food source that I was speaking about of the Arceola cherry. You can, of course, buy an ascorbic acid and encapsulate that also with the sunflower lecithin. It just does not have as high an absorbency rate. You will also need distilled water because it doesn't have any of the metals or contaminants left after the distilling process. You need a wood stir. We don't want to use metal. You need a high-speed blender. You would put into a high-speed blender 16 ounces of your distilled water, 3 tablespoons of your Arceola cherry, 3 tablespoons of your sunflower lecithin. You would blend this for 2 minutes on a high speed. Then you would pour it into your ultrasonic machine, and you would process for 22 minutes. You stir every 5 minutes with your wood stir. Do not use metal because it will reverse the ion effect for binding the phospholipids to the cherry. Once processed, you can place in a glass jar. Recommended dosing is 3 ounces, 30 minutes apart in the morning on an empty stomach. So that would be 2 3-ounce doses, 30 minutes apart, using all your 16 ounces within about 3 days. You can make less if your body does not handle the higher doses. Now, I don't know where we're at with time. Lynn, can you tell me if we want to even talk about any of the blind study, or are we out of time?
I was looking at the questions. So what if we take a couple questions and we'll do a little more like that with your studies? And I know Dr. Rita Marie is on, so
yeah,
she has
hi.
Anything else to say.
Hi.
Yeah, thank you. There's lots of questions, and I would love to handle some of them. One was specifically about the ultrasonic machine. That looks like Lynn found one and put the link up. You may want to verify that that's a good place. So yeah, this is great for people to know how to do it. I think it's awesome. The big question was about the ultrasonic machine.
Thank you. So the ultrasonic machine, I don't particularly think that there's anything more important than it being stainless steel. I use an 800 milliliter size because I make 16 ounces at a time. And that holds exactly that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cannot handle larger doses, this is where the blind study kind of came in, is everyone, of course, is a bioidentical individual. And so each person can handle different amounts. And it depends on your liver health. It depends on, you know, where you're at as far as your absorbency, as to how much you can handle. So like one lady who is 74, she could only handle 2 tablespoons a day. I can handle 5 ounces a day.
So, and remind me again how much that is. How much does 5 ounces, how many milligrams of vitamin C would that be?
Well, when I looked at the way that it worked out, it looked to be that liposomally, 1 ounce of liposomal was equivalent to 4,000 of a buffered.
Wow.
That's coming from the cherry.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome, because there's no way you'd be able to take that much acerola cherry or ascorbate.
No, not if it's not encapsulated in a phospholipid. You're not going to be able to do it.
No,
but when you encapsulate that, that's when it becomes, you know, very available to you, and the absorbency is very high.
Yeah, and my big question would be, and we probably could easily calculate it, is given that's how you do it, like, what's the cost of you making the 16 ounces? And that's basically roughly, you're taking 5 ounces at a time, which would be equivalent to 5 times 20 grams, right, of vitamin C?
Right.
Yeah. So 20 grams of liposomal vitamin C with any of the brands that you buy is about $20 worth.
Let's see. So if you can get a pound of the powder, and by the time, I figured that it was right at about $4.50 to make 16 ounces.
Okay. And then you get 3 days at 5 each, right? So $4 to make 60. Okay, so figure it out. This is a really great cost savings. So for those of you who are saying, wow, that sounds like a lot of work, yeah. And I would ask you the question, which do you have more of, time or money? If you have plenty of money, then take the equivalent in liposomal, but most people do not have the budget to do that. So you're saying about $4 to make 60 grams. Of this stuff,
right?
$4.
That's
right. That's nothing.
That's
compared to that,
yeah,
would be $60, right? $60 versus $4.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you look back at the price in any of the companies that are out there, they're about $30 for 5 ounces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and usually I go by, I don't know how many ounces it is, but what they'll usually say is it's 30 servings, right, for $30. At a gram a serving. So this is a significant cost saving. So I would say, you know, which do you have more of, time or money? How long does it take you? That's the other thing, to do this.
You know, it doesn't take long. 2 minutes to do the blending, 1 minute to put it together, and the machine, the ultrasonic machine, does all the rest of the work for the next 22 minutes.
Got it. And you're just having to stir it every 5 minutes.
Right, every 5 minutes, right.
So even the total elapsed time is less than a half an hour of your time. To save $56.
Yes.
So it just depends on you know, what your time is worth. If you're an executive consultant lawyer that makes $300 an hour, then maybe it's not worth your time. Right?
You can hire your cleaning lady to make it.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Right? You hire somebody to make it for you. Right? But if you're the average person, having a job making even anywhere from, you know, $10 an hour to $100 an hour, it's still worth your time to do it because it's saving so much. You know, they can't take too much liposomal because they can't afford it. So like you said earlier, I think take as much as you can afford and then take, you know, a buffer to score for the rest. But if you can actually take liposomal for less than the cost of the buffered ascorbate, I'd say go for it.
Yeah, I believe that even people who are short on time, I mean, people with rigorous schedules can find a half an hour.
Yeah.
In an evening, it doesn't matter what time of day you make it. You're not making it every day. You're not making it fresh every day, you know. But I feel like that very small amount of time while you're in between your 5-minute stirs, you could be doing burst exercise or you can, I mean, there's so many things that you can be doing during that
you're
time.
You're watching a video while you're doing it and you just sit there and exactly. it while you're watching an educational video. Yeah, I'm a big fan of multitasking and, you know, yeah. So I think it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, it really is awesome. Just really the discovery of it and then, you know, applying that into my own life and applying it into 6 or 7 people that I did this test with, each one had a little bit different reaction and the amounts were a little bit different, but you can discover and figure out, you know, what your body's load is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there are some people there was a guy who was actually a representative for one of the liposomal companies, a doctor, and he was saying how, you know, all these people making their own liposomal, it's not, you know, it doesn't really work. But the truth of the matter is, if you're taking 20 grams of vitamin C, and you're taking that across like an hour and a half's worth of time, if it wasn't actually working and binding it into a liposome, you'd have miserable diarrhea really quickly.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. That's why putting it with the sunflower lecithin, then not only are you getting the phospholipid, the benefit of the phospholipid alone, the choline alone, you're getting it to carry the at the same time, which then if you are supplementing with any of your other fat-soluble vitamins, you just take them all at the same time. And then they help synergize each other.
All of it to get absorbed. Oh, what a great idea. Yeah.
So it really, really can become a much bigger benefit than just the vitamin C.
And it's not just vitamin C. Okay, I buy liposomal turmeric from Seeking Health. There's liposomal CoQ10. So, I mean, you could, if I'm understanding this correctly, I could probably just take turmeric and make a liposomal turmeric and maybe make a combination liposomal turmeric and vitamin C and get them all together in one big cell swoop instead of having to take a whole bunch.
That's right. That's exactly right. So you can make anything liposomal and, you know, you can take your purest form turmeric. You can take, you know, even a powdered B12 that's been freeze-dried. You can make that liposomal. This is really an unlimited type of thing when we come to the basic understanding of how do we make or encapsulate whatever that nutrient is into a liposomal state. How are we doing that? And I just think it's limitless, really.
Wow. That's really cool. I really like all that because I think that so many people are not absorbing their vitamins. So you're going to save a lot of money by doing liposomal versions of it without having to pay the hefty price tags of buying liposomal forms. So thank you for that.
Yes.
And what was the size of the machine you said you had?
I think it was 800 mil. Yeah, it was 800 mil.
800 mil, okay. And then how do we do liposomal glutathione? I would imagine you get some glutathione. Because glutathione doesn't get absorbed unless it's liposomal or in a particular seed oil glutathione.
Right.
Like that.
You can get a powdered glutathione from this Living Herbal Pharmacy. They have a powdered there that you can then, you know, also get the sunflower lecithin. That particular brand was through, you know, researching many different forms of sunflower lecithin for myself. and found that these guys are just right here in Colorado, just like 60 miles from me. And so I visited their factory and found that their product was just fantastic and very clean, sanitary place. And wow, yeah, I was very impressed. And so I buy as much as I can from them, and they do
and
have
that Living Pharmacy.
Yes, Living Herbal Pharmacy.
Yes, Living Herbal Pharmacy. And the link is in your slide, so everybody has it now.
Yeah, it's on the last page.
So if you want to go ahead and just quickly share those studies, because people like to hear, like, how is this really working for other folks?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, well, one of my studies was with a 64-year-old woman, and something that most people should know about her is that she has stage 4 kidney disease. So what she noticed after, she was sort of a slow, let's start taking it, you know, little by little. And so we started with 2 tablespoons in the morning and 1 tablespoon, so that equaled basically 1 ounce a day. And she, with just doing that, within 3 days, noticed that she had an increase of energy and a mood elevation. She then increased her dose little by little, 1 ounce at a time every 3 days until she reached 4 ounces a day. And she then was noticing a urine flow increase. So for her with stage 4 kidney disease, that was a huge improvement for her. So she was noticing a lot of tissue healing. So the kidney tissue was healing. There was a lot of detoxification that was coming right along with that also. But her skin, one of the things that I noticed over the weeks of seeing her was I watched her skin go from wrinkled and aged looking to, I think she lost maybe 10 years in her wrinkled skin. Between the phospholipid and the vitamin C, it was such a huge increase in collagen for her that her eyes got clearer and her skin got smoother. It was really amazing to watch how that was so great. Plus, she's kind of one of those stress bunnies. So with the adrenal health, it was a huge improvement for her adrenals also. Then I used a 55-year-old man, and he was doing 2 ounces 3 times a day on an empty stomach. So he was doing 30 minutes before a meal, and he noticed that he had a huge improvement in energy, a lot less food cravings. So the saturation of the phospholipids into his stomach, it just did, he was not nearly as hungry. He was also a man who had a lot of allergies, especially seasonal allergies, and he had a lot less histamine reactions, and he also noticed a improvement in his skin tone. There was a 51-year-old woman that I used doing 1 ounce twice a day, morning and noon, and noticed great energy, radiant skin, elevated mood, and reduced stress response. Used a 42-year-old woman who noticed sleep improvement. So that was cortisol reduction. She had an increase in energy during the day, and she was doing 2 ounces 2 times a day on an empty stomach. Most of these were not doing like a load in the morning where they were splitting 3 ounces and then a half an hour later doing 3 more ounces. They were doing a morning and a noon, hoping to increase their energy levels through the whole day. Like I'd mentioned earlier, a 74-year-old woman, she recognized she did not actually require 8 hours of sleep anymore. Her top end, though, was 2 teaspoons a day. Otherwise, she was like not sleeping at all, just too much energy. And then she couldn't, you know, she just couldn't go to sleep at night. So hers was only 2 teaspoons a day. Then I kind of moved into the younger group, and I used a 27-year-old man. And he noticed more energy within 2 hours of taking 2 ounces on an empty stomach. He did not need to eat as much. He was feeling full longer. And so he moved from 2 ounces up 1 ounce every day for 7 days, and then felt like his top end was really about 6 ounces was his perfect amount. Felt very energetic all day long. I then used a 24-year-old woman who, by taking 1 ounce 2 times a day, on an empty stomach, she noticed a lot less inflammation. She was a person that Even over just 7 days, she noticed a reduction in acne, which was inflammation. She noticed she at that time was on her menstruation cycle, and she noticed an almost immediate reduction in her inflammation in her uterus and cramping. So that's my study.
Wow. That's really cool that you know, that people notice that kind of difference. And I love when you can take something and notice a difference. You know, like some vitamins and minerals or whatever else, we take them, but we don't really, you know, we know we should because our tests showed we were deficient or whatever, but we don't notice a difference. But when you can take something and actually keep titrating it up to the point where it's like, okay, I've hit my max benefit, it's like a really cool thing because you know that you're providing your body with something really special.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Cool. But it's true because we're limited on how much vitamin C we could really take because of gut issues, right? And especially people who have, like you said, irritable bowel or something like that. But to be able to actually pump more in and get our stores up, you know, it's not like we store vitamin C because we don't have a storage form. Like it doesn't store in the liver like vitamin A would, for example. But what happens is when we don't have enough of a certain nutrient like vitamin C, our body down regulates the functions that it's going to do. It just doesn't have enough to go around. So some of the functions just don't, they don't get it. You know, they get to be the little ignored grandchildren, right? We have this ability to just keep pumping it up. And then usually once you hit that and all the functions start to get brought back up to speed, you can lower it then after that. But most people don't ever take enough liposomal vitamin C to make that happen because of the cost. It's just totally cost prohibitive.
I've had some people, you know, with seeking help and things like, I mean, great product, but they add lemon zest, so I was not able to take it because lemon is inflammatory to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, so lime is not. If they would have, you know, preserved in lime or added lime for flavor, I could do lime, but I can't do lemon. I can't do lemon flavor, lemon anything. It just does not work for me.
Yeah, that's great that you found something that you could actually do yourself. And if somebody wanted it to taste better and put lime or lemon in it, they can always add it to their liposomal, right? You just
Yeah, the cherry tastes great. I mean, I don't have any problem, especially with the phospholipids in it, because it just makes it smooth and creamy. I love it.
I'm gonna try this. So you got to get the machine. That's the most costly part to begin with. Approximately, what do they cost? Like $50 or something.
You know, look for them on sale on Amazon, because when I found mine, I was looking, of course, for a completely stainless steel ultrasonic machine, and they'll run sales. So I picked mine up for like $29.
Oh, wow.
Normally, it's about $69. So you just look for them. Just watch for them on sale and then, you know, pick one up when they're running a special on them. And just, you know, make sure it's a large enough size. Now, for those who are just beginning out, you might only want to make 8 ounces at a time. So you would half the recipe, you know, and make it to where it's only 8 ounces at a time and start with lower doses so that it's gone in those 3 days. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be bad after 3 days, but I do believe that because it doesn't have any preservatives in it, it can lose some of its potency.
And do you store it in the refrigerator? Like I do all my
vegetables
in the fridge. Okay.
Yeah. I store it in glass, but not with, you know, sealed lids.
Adding lemon oil to it might preserve it a little longer because it has those antimicrobial properties. So that's a possibility. Just putting a few drops of lemon essential oil could even do it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
This has been a wealth of information. Jay wants to know, what about freezing?
You know, the research is that vitamin C does not lose its potency being frozen, but I honestly, there's no reason to. If you're going to, you know, use it, make smaller doses or, you know, do the 16 ounces and use it in those 3 days. I mean, it's not impossible to do, but I'm not saying that you can't freeze it, but I don't think it's necessary to freeze it.
Okay. Yeah,
but you
that's
can.
A good point. The other question, you may not know the answer to this, I'll have to do some research. And me and several other people are using these Freestyle Libre meters, right? Glucose meters, continuous glucose meters. And I discovered by taking a big dose of vitamin C one day and then having my sugar look like it skyrocketed up into like 120s, 130s, in doing research I discovered that there is a cross-reactivity that vitamin C will make it look like you have higher glucose. It doesn't raise your glucose. It just makes it look like because of the reagents they use. So I'm not sure if once it's in a liposomal form, it does that. But maybe I can experiment with that and just take some liposomal C and see.
Well, from my personal experience, and I can't say that this is for everyone, but my personal experience is that I have, you know, extremely sensitive blood sugar numbers, and this does not take me out of the range.
Okay. Yeah, and it's different meters. Like mine, vitamin C doesn't cross-react with, like, the two to go or any of those, mm-hmm. but it does cross-react with the freestyle and whatever uses that particular technology that they use.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So interesting to me, because is that meter that you're talking about, is it one that hooks to your arm, or does it go into your skin?
Yeah, you put the little sensor on your arm, and then there's a little reader and all that. I can just read this. I've tested my glucose two or three times while we're talking, and it just reads it without pricking the skin. It's like one little very thin filament that goes in, and it's just continuously reading your blood sugar.
Wow. Yeah, I would be so interested in, you know, looking into something like that as far as why would that cross-react with the vitamin C like that and cause those numbers to show up that way.
Yeah, there's just a technology, and there are probably other strips that use it. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's a particular chemical reagent it uses to pick up what the glucose is. And this is pure ascorbic acid interferes with it, makes it look like you have high, because it's, you know, ascorbic acid comes from glucose, right? But we as humans can't convert it. So it's somehow it's picking that up, and I don't remember.
But it's also a corn base. So I'm curious if it's the corn.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not the corn.
All right.
It was particularly ascorbic acid in that form, so I'm not sure if once it's in the liposomal form. I took a buffer, and I took about 4 grams of it at a time because I felt like, oh, I exposed to somebody who had a cold, and I don't want to get it. And sure enough, I was freaking out because my sugar was going up, and it was different. So I did it on the blood. Whenever it goes up when I don't think it should on here, I just cross-check it on the blood, and it was fine. I'm like, okay, this means I have to go look this up, and that's what I found.
Wow, cool to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for that information. That was really important.
Just good to know. Yeah, because people will think, oh, vitamin C makes my blood sugar go up. No, it doesn't make your blood sugar go up. It makes the meter think your blood sugar went up. It's a very big difference.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. People are ordering. Isabel put up a link to what she's going to do. She has a client who has bleeding gums. She's going to recommend it. So this has been very helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I'm going to get motivated. Lynn already ordered it in the cherry. Haha. Lynn, you are the first to always jump on things. It's great. All right. Thank you guys so much. This has been an awesome call, and we'll make sure that the recording has the slides merged in. It'll probably take about a week to get our video editor to do that, but we'll make sure. But you have the slides now. So, all right. Thanks so much, Trina.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Great day. Bye.